Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. Excuse me, it's taken a minute for the Facebook Live to come up, and I'm trying to share this for everybody to see on the different pages. We have a great, great show for you. It's great to welcome back Pat Campolitano.
You got it right.
It's a lot of syllables. Many for me. I mean, Yamaha's three. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's great to have you back. He's been on several times. And an amazing guitar player. I was just listening to him tuning up these guitars, and he's an amazing player. I thought I was going to have to play tonight, but I get the night off. I'm going to let him play because he's so good. But he has the title of being the youngest and sole luthier for Yamaha guitars in the USA, and he is the guy that they go to, artists go to when they want a custom guitar, which is the Yamaha custom shop. Excuse me. So anyway, he is here, and we're going to talk about the development of his guitars. That's one of Yamaha's one of the best guitars and well known, and a name that comes to mind with the Pacifica guitar, which he designed, is Mark Bonilla, who swears by these guitars. And if you go on our YouTube channel, the All About Guitar YouTube channel, Mark Bonilla was on about a few months ago, and he played live on the show, and he's using his Pacifica. It's a beautiful guitar, and he has a custom paint job to it of all these Marvel superheroes. But he gets a great tone, and from my understanding, I'll let Pat explain if there's anything custom about that guitar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, just to give a little update on or backstory on the Pacifica. The Pacifica was originally designed at the first Yamaha custom shop, long before my time, actually.
Okay.
It was in North Hollywood. It was on Weddington Street, and it was the first custom shop that Yamaha opened in the United States. And it was built there to be, a place for artists in the States to interact with Yamaha, and for us to really, our workshop is called Yamaha Artist Services, and that's really what it is. We're there to provide a service for all the artists as they come through. A lot of, groups come through L.A. on their tour, but not everybody's going through middle of Hamamatsu, Japan, which is the headquarters of Yamaha. So it was set up to accommodate all the artists with, whatever ideas they might have. And now I'm actually accompanied by two other luthiers, Andrew Enns, who is our acoustic guitar builder, does all the R&D and custom acoustic guitars for artists, similar to like what I do. And one of our teammates, Rafael Barajas, who is an old coworker of mine at a different company. And when I got the chance to hire him, I just grabbed it as fast as I could. He is our painter, and he's a builder with us as well. So, we'll make different parts together. But my main focus is electric guitars and basses. Andrew's is acoustics. And then Raphael kind of is our right-hand man on both sides. So back to Mark's guitar, actually, it was one of those things where Mark's left-handed, right? So he needs a left-handed guitar. They made him this wonderful guitar at that Weddington shop. And yeah, it's all stuck with his comic book characters. It's pretty killer. So, I mean, ELP, he's played with Glenn Hughes. He's a monster.
And if you want to hear that guitar, besides on the show, and you can check out our YouTube, Jeff Floro, All About Guitar. There's a YouTube channel, and it's up there. But his album, the last time we talked, we were talking about his album Celluloid Debris, and it's all over there. And he uses that guitar.
Yeah.
He swears by it.
And he's such a cool dude. It's like when you meet him, you know, it's like so great. Like he's the nicest guy. He knows a lot about guitar, definitely about technique and playing, but about the instrument too. And he's got some cool ones in his collection. Being left-handed, he's got like some really cool vintage guitars that just you wouldn't think existed. And yeah, he's been really nice to work with over the years. I worked on a couple of his like acoustic guitars and just doing setups and stuff like that, but really nice guy. So it's been fun working with him and some other artists too. One of the guitars that we brought here is an artist guitar that we actually displayed at NAMM.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little different than what you saw at the NAMM booth because after the show, the guitar actually belongs to Jeff Schroeder from Smashing Pumpkins and mm-hmm. His new band, Night Dreamer, with Mini Song, and they're incredible, like ethereal sounding, you know. So one of the things that he wanted was, it, you know, the guitar has a sustainer in it. And this particular guitar, actually, I'll bust it out just real quick.
Oh, feel free to grab whatever you want and play it.
So, yeah, this is it's neon, as you can tell.
You can spot that under low lights.
Yeah, yeah. So this actually had a humbucker-size sustainiac built in it first. And then we swapped it out to be the single coil size. And that's because Jeff really wanted more space for the picking hand. And actually, in the sustainer pickup, it's the same coil in the humbucker as is in the single coil. Mm-hmm. So it's just the bobbin difference. So we made a new pick guard, wired it up again, and it's back at it. Well, maybe we'll do a little playing demo in a minute.
And notice here, keep it up for a second. Yeah. Notice that they've contoured this. I think that some of the other guitars, I don't know if were all the Pacificas have that contour.
No. This contour. So this is one of the guitars that I designed, right?
Okay.
As opposed to the current generation Pacifica, mm-hmm. which actually we'll talk about that one first.
It's Pacifica Night here.
It is Pacifica Night. So this is a Pacifica 112V. This is in a sonic pink color.
It's hard to see it under the lights, but this is really nice.
It's a really nice color. And kind of part of the influence behind this guitar, why we picked this color, and, you know, the maple neck and things, a lot of it comes from artist development. So a lot of artists talk to Dave, and they say, hey, we really want a maple fingerboard. Can we get one? That was like one of the number one requests because we weren't doing it for a minute. And actually now we're offering the maple necks on these. And this guitar is really great. Street price is $299.
$299?
Yeah. It's pretty
great. Wow.
It's got a coil tap for the bridge humbucker. Five-way, you know, normal. It's great singles, great humbucker. Fretwork is incredible,
as
always.
Are these Yamaha makes the pickups?
Yep.
Okay.
These are this whole guitar. I mean, Yamaha is very particular about a lot of that stuff. Where we end up making a lot of our own hardware or our own pickups. Let's say we, you know, pretty much design everything because the quality standard is really, really high for all the products. You need to be able to buy a saxophone, a drum kit, a keyboard, a guitar, and, you know, to have that Yamaha name behind it, it's really important to know what you're getting into when you buy, you know, something that has the three tuning forks on it, right? So when you plug it in, it has to work. It has to function, and it has to work for a really long time. So one of those things is you know, whatever it is, designing things that will be rugged, wood seasoning to make sure it's, you know, not going to move in crazy extreme temperatures. And we're used to making guitars in extreme, you know, climates. In Japan, it's pretty humid sometimes, but, you know, we do it every year, make incredible stuff. And so this is one of the new guitars that was released at NAMM this year. And there's a few other colors. There's like a really cool Sonic Blue looking color. There's a darker blue color. Dave, you know the name of that better than
I
do.
Yeah. Excuse me. So just to introduce myself, hi.
I'm sorry, Dave.
That's all right.
Dave is the product.
Pat is the show tonight.
No.
But yeah, I work with Pat up at the Yamaha Guitar Group in Calabasas. I'm a product marketing manager, so I'm a little more involved with the storytelling part. Like if you've seen the recent launch videos for the new generation of THRs that we put out last mm-hmm. fall, or in the FG Red Label guitars. I'm the guy at the front of the video. Say, hi, this is Dave from Yamaha.
Ah, okay.
So the five new pack 112 finishes. United Blue is the darker blue that's on the rosewood fretboard. There's a gray, there is a vintage white, and then the ice blue is the lighter blue that's on the maple fingerboard version of this, and the sonic pink. And with that selection, part of the genesis of that process was we were actually just looking at sort of trending color palettes and going sort of outside the core guitar market of, do you want a black, white, a sunburst, those sorts of things. And the response to these has been really great, just for people who are looking for... Pat often says, like, a guitar is something you wear. It can be a fashion item as much as it is a musical instrument, as much as it is a tool. And hopefully these are guitars people will see on the wall and say, oh, I think that
was shown with the Rev Stars, because they were using basically like motorcycle mm-hmm. finishes, which are usually pretty cool. But I have a question for you. On this guitar, the humbucker with the splitter switch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that the same, like on the RevStar, there was a switch like that split it, but it was electronically...
I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's
called the dry switch in the RevStar. And actually, that's just a filter. And pretty much what it does is it's a high-pass filter.
Right.
So it cuts off under a certain frequency, and that's really good for when you have humbuckers with really high gain, or you have P90s with high gain, especially P90s. So we put that on all the RevStar guitars, and it's a cool way to get a, you know, sort of single coil sound, or I wouldn't necessarily say single coil sound,
but a brighter sound,
a little, yeah, or thinner, brighter is probably the better
way. But it gets the noise reduction of the humbucker. I thought that was kind of cool.
And it's really just another color on your palette, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really what it's for. And this is just the, you know, standard coil
split.
It's
a real coil split.
Yeah, and we do that because, you know, you have the three pickups, so sometimes you want to get this two and four position, right? So in order to get this two position, you know, you coil tap it, they'll cancel the noise, and it operates like you normally would expect, right? But on a RevStar with two humbuckers, you know, it's only got a three-way selector switch, and you want to get six different sounds, you know, you just change your sound by pulling that switch. And it works really, really well for both humbuckers and P90s. I really love the 502T. That's like my favorite of that whole group. And yeah, you're right when you said that the RevStar is a very style-driven type of guitar. Yeah, you know, you stand in front of everybody you know, all the people you want to show a good time. And, you know, you dress for the show, you got, you know, everything done up, and the guitar can't be an afterthought either. It has to be, you know, something that, well, it's outside of your clothes even, you know, it's the first thing you see, it's first and foremost. So, yeah, being, you know, in the realm of, you know, what is fashionable, but not something that's a fad. It has to be timeless too, you know, that's the hard part, is coming up with a good color that's not going to be here today, gone tomorrow. And that United Blue color was kind of something based on...
It looks really, really sharp, yeah.
It was kind of based a little bit on a previous prototype guitar that we had made a few different times, and people commented that they really liked that color. And then this is pretty similar to a guitar I made for a guy, Josh Gooch, for Shania Twain. He plays with Shania Twain, and we had that guitar on display at NAMM this year as well. And that was pretty cool. That was specific, a single cutaway custom guitar that we made.
This one's real subtle. It's a mm-hmm. very nice pink, but it's very subtle. If from far away, you might think it's white.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's got to be clever.
But I think it has more character. When it's something's just like white, mm-hmm. it's a little bit too much. It's like, you know, like yellowed, like the aged, you know, guitar that you'll get with an antique white or whatever, where it's kind of discolored. People seem to like that. But this is really nice. Now, is this a hardtail?
Nope. This one has a tremolo.
And go ahead and flip it so they can see the back.
Yep, you can see the back.
Okay, let me get a picture of that too. But the reason I'm asking is now this guitar, the tremolo is flat to the surface.
Yep. You can set it up to float if you want.
Well, I want to ask you about that because I was always taught to float it. But what does that change? What's the difference between having it flat like that and floating it?
Well, I think it's a lot of it comes down to preference, right? When you get a guitar and you pick it up off the shelf, we do the best job we possibly can that you can take it right out of the box and start playing it at a gig that night. But I always say, you know, as a builder, I go a little further into detail that, you know, when you buy a guitar, you need to set it up how you want it to play. And I think that goes for every brand of guitar, no matter what. And if you like the bridge to be flat, I would say that these guitars are shipping flat because for a player who's, you know, maybe this is their first tremolo guitar, or, you know, could be that they're just unfamiliar with how it's used. If you set it to float and you're pressing your palm against the back of the bridge, you can make the strings go sharp, okay. Right? So this is why it ships this way. But you can actually set it up to float. You could set it to be like this. You know, some guys use different...
So it doesn't affect the whammy bar or the intonation. Because when I floated my Strat, my old Strat,
sure.
It when you tune it, it now balances. You hit that sweet spot, and then when all the spring and everything's together, it's stable. It's really stable. But you have to kind of set it to do that.
Yeah, it takes a minute for, you know, the strings to stretch out and for everything to balance. But once you get it there, it really stays in tune very well. As long as, you know, you have the nut cut properly, you got a nice set of gears on there, and you know what you're doing with the guitar. So these other two guitars that I'll be showing, those bridges are set to float. And typically I set them to float because that's just my personal preference, but we have all sorts of guys that, like Paul Hindmarsh, for example, Paul Hindmarsh is like, you know, God's gift to guitar. The guy's insanely good. And, we got, you know, we had made him, one of these Pacificas similar to another one I'll show. And he wanted the tremolo blocked, but he wants the tremolo in there because it's part of the sound. So that guy knows exactly what he wants.
Right.
You know, so it's all depending on the player, what kind of music that you're playing, what kind of sound you're going for. You know, some guys really like the sound of like the reverberation of the springs in the back. If you set the, you know, the claw.
Well, the type of spring, the tension of it, and then the block, the mass of the block, all of that affects it.
Exactly.
Now, you were the one that put this in, this
arm contour?
Yeah.
Nope. This is just part of the stock guitar. It's been like this for a little while.
Okay. Because you're going to see on the custom guitars, there's more contouring. Yep. Go ahead and turn it around to the back.
Yep.
So, and it's a 4-bolt.
Yep.
This is kind of a matte type of finish. It's not real shiny.
Yeah, it's satin.
Satin is what it is. And then what kind of a nut is that on there?
This is a Urya type of plastic that we use. It's like really hard, like a nylon type material.
Is it like a self-lubricating, or do you need to put
stuff? This one is not on some of the higher end models. We'll put the GrafTech nut on like the Pacifica 611 or 612 VFM guitars like that. They actually have like a whole GrafTech kit that comes on that guitar, and those are streeting for like $599 or something like that.
Yeah, they're really still pretty.
And they come with they come with Duncans in them. They come with a Wilkinson tremolo,
Grover heads,
yeah. Anodized aluminum pickguard, nice flame tops with satin finishes, glossy
I own two
finishes.
Of them.
Yeah, yep.
No, that's besides the four bolt, and well, let me ask you, for using this with tremolo, if you were using this guitar,
mm-hmm.
what would you do? Would you put
well, it's fine.
Graphite it in there, or would you need to lubricate it?
It's all about the setup, right? You know, it's all about how well you cut the nut slots, how well you balance your trem, what kind of, you know, technique that you're using. Often it's how these six individual screws for the bridge, how those are set. A lot of times you'll see, if you look, you know, at this view here from the side, that the screws are all differing heights. So you got to make sure that they're all exactly the same height, you know, and that you make sure that the knife edge is not getting hung up anywhere. You can't sink the screws down too far, otherwise the bottom of the plate's going to rub. So these are all like the little things that, yeah. you know, go unnoticed. But if you set this up, you know, I can make this $300 guitar, you know, stay in tune, no problem, abuse it.
Well, that one that you brought in last time with the Revstar, the low-end one, mm-hmm. that thing was a screamer. I mean, that guitar was great.
It might be inexpensive, but I wouldn't say like low-end. You know, I would say it's just a great value for...
Well, let me... Put it
oh
this
no!
Way.
I, yeah,
I what I was saying mean. Is like, for example, when we did a whole show on the FG series, mm-hmm. and the FG 800, I love that guitar, and we were at the gun club right after the show, and I gave it to Albert Lee to take a look at
Hollywood Gun Club,
Hollywood
right.
Gun
yeah,
Club,
yeah, yeah. And, guitar club, not
yeah, it has nothing to do with yeah, guns, yeah, yeah. But anyway, Albert Lee tried that guitar and he really liked it, and. It was basically what everybody was saying. It was a student model because it was only $200. Mm. And I'm like, this is a studio recordable guitar. I mean, it had the sound. And I was saying, you know, this is a second guitar for a studio musician. You know, you don't have the money to buy, you know, 15 Martins like some of the big stars do. But this is a good second guitar, and it works well when you double parts. And I'd like, that's the way I looked at it. And that's mm-hmm. what I would tell people. Check this 800 out for the money. 200. I mean, Albert's a jaw dropped when he heard that there was that price, and they all started playing it over at the show. It was great. Little sideline.
No, that's cool.
But on this guitar, let me ask you another question. What's the radius of this neck? It's pretty flat.
It's 350 millimeter. So what you'll see on all the current Pacificas is 350 millimeter, which equates to about 13 and three quarter inch. You know, so almost 14. Relatively flat. And the reason for that is, you know, a lot of bending, if you want to bend and you want to play up high, if you have a really round radius fingerboard, it will choke out the notes, right? And actually, the nut width here is 41 millimeter. So a little narrower than typical, but this is actually really comfortable for players that might just be starting out. And also,
Mark Bonilla told me that was a big thing, is that yeah. he likes the narrower one.
Yep. And
go ahead and plug that in. You might as well show him a little bit of these pickups.
Sure.
Because it'll kind of set up for the other guitars too. But this thing, the sound of this guitar is really good. You should be all set.
All right, so this is just the neck pickup.
So that's the neck pickup.
Yep,
okay.
Neck pickup. So now we go to the four position, right? To get there.
There's a lot of overtones in there. You're getting
yeah,
plenty of overtones.
It's got a nice quack. Just the middle pickup, which is, it sounds like a beefier just bridge pickup. Not too many people use the middle pickup in a, you know, three pickup single coil guitar like this, but I actually like it. It's pretty fast.
I find that pickup works well when you try to get the Gilmore sound. It has that. I don't know if he uses that one or not, but it sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah. So here, if I go to this two position, right?
Now, what's happening? Is that the middle and the full humbucker?
Yeah, it's middle and a humbucker. Now, if I split it.
Yeah, you can hear it.
And now just this is bridge split. Now full humbucker. Gets a little fatter.
And this guitar's $299, and those pickups sound great.
Yeah.
They sound
awesome. It's hard to beat.
Now, is there any other options, or that's it? Is it all the guitars are like that, or like can you get a Rosewood fingerboard?
Yeah, so this is the 112 VM. the 112 V has the Rosewood board, and then as Pat was mentioning earlier, you can go up into some higher specification models that'll still be generally this spec, but you might get into some name brand components and.
So the difference is like you'd put Duncan's or something, but
absolutely,
can you get the neck? I forget what you do. You freeze. I forget what the process is.
Oh, ARE treatment. I believe is what you're talking about. That is something that's more for like some made in Japan models or higher end acoustics and stuff like that. And that is a process where we actually, you know, a lot of what's popular these days is like baked or torrefied type of wood. This is a process that Yamaha's been doing for decades now, and it's actually like it's a specialized kind of kiln chamber, and it utilizes pressure, moisture, just to get the right, you know, heat temperature combination to essentially, you know, artificially age the wood to make it sound like it's been around and been played for many, many years. And then we have another process where they actually, you know, shake the body of the instruments to kind of give it a play-in effect, kind of like what you do for, like, if you bought brand-new speakers and put them in a speaker cab.
Yeah. The person that uses that ARE process a lot is Billy Sheehan on his basses. He brought them in. We saw that there. It's a beautiful guitars. So rosewood and maple. Mm. What's the body made out of?
The body's
alder.
Yeah, they are alder.
All alder. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And now, then we've got some flame top options and quilted maple, flame maple. And again,
oh, okay. So you can get that kind of. You can do that too. Now, let me ask you, when you came in, okay, so the Pacifica had existed.
Yeah.
So what did you bring to the table? What did you try to do to it?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the current product as it stands. This is what you can get at a store today. And then when artists come to me, they'll say, hey, I really like Pacifica, but, like, can I get this? Can I get that? You know, they ask really weird questions sometimes, and I just say yes to everything. So here, I'll give me one sec. Okay, so.
This is. I'm going to take a picture close up of this so you can see this finish. This finish is amazing.
This is a guitar that we presented at the NAMM show a couple of years back. And this was my take on a Pacifica. It's exactly the same silhouette, right? So the shape of the body is exactly the same. but I just. And the shape of the headstock is the same as well. Same silhouette and everything. But I just went a little weird with it. So. One of the things is, you know, we've been making Revstar for a few years now, and I was thinking, well, we have Revstar, we have the new BB, and they both play on this, you know, design characteristic of having this pickguard that has this kind of angled cut in it, and it's very distinct kind of look. So I said, how do we make the Pacifica join that family? So this was my, you know, rendition of that. So it's a pickguard very similar to what you see on the BB, same, and it actually harkens back to some older Yamaha models, really, you know, from the 70s and things, especially this kind of point. This is more historic in some older Yamaha models. So this was something where I was like, okay, we take a little bit of the new, a little bit of the old, and then I wanted to play a little bit with like materials and you know, hardware. So this was what I came up with. This is actually an Ash body. This is got a, it's like a sonic blue transparent type of color. And then it's an all Indian rosewood neck. And the neck wood we actually got from a supplier here in California. I actually drove out there and picked out a few of these pieces. They were reclaimed from what I believe was an old bar. And it was used as like some sort of crown molding or something. But it was like these really, really nice pieces of rosewood, and the guy had a bunch of it. So I said, actually, I'll just take a big chunk of it. And I was like, I could slice it up and make, you know, fingerboards out of it. And then I had this one nice piece where the grain was perfect. So I was just like, ah, forget it. I'm going to take it and make the whole neck out of it. So
now, how did you put the truss rod in it?
The truss rod. So what you'll see from the side is actually you just slice the fingerboard off you glue them back together.
Is it too heavy, or is it, how does the weight?
No, it's not very heavy. It's pretty normal weight.
Because usually rosewood's heavier, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, at least that was the thing when Fender made the Telecaster rosewood for the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't like it because it was too heavy.
The body, it's a solid rosewood on the body. That's why. So this guitar, it's a little different. It's got Lawler pickups in it. So these are blonde and a special T bridge pickup, which is, I really love Lawler pickups. We use them in a lot of artist guitars. They've been really great to me, and to Yamaha. They've really gone above and beyond. When we call them up, we say, hey, we need pickups tomorrow for this artist project. They're going on the road. They're there. You know, so I really love the sound. I've never had one guitar that we sent out come back, you know, saying we want to swap them out.
They're real popular.
They're amazing. Yeah. And I put like Imperial Highwinds and everything. People would get tired of me talking about it. But so one of the things, you know, for this guitar, also bringing it close to BB, is like this kind of pill style inlay. Actually, the headstock silhouette is the same, but I tilt it a little bit to the left because I make the strings pull exactly straight. So the tuning machines are actually not in a straight line. They're kind of in an arc. And what I do is I measure the diameter of the string that I know I'm going to string the guitar up with.
Look at that.
And I pull it straight. And this one's just a little bit different, you know, bone nut.
Now, is that the same radius, or is that of the other one, or is
this
different?
A compound radius? So compound. It's 9.5.
It looks different. Yeah,
this is 9.5 down here and 14 up here, and it's stainless steel frets from Jeskar, really great fret wire, and I pocket the fret wire so the tangs don't come out the edge.
Right.
You know, so if it ever is in a really dry climate, it's not going to cause any trouble. And then this one actually has a dovetailed neck joint. So the easiest way to see it is maybe not from the side view, although if you run your finger along it, it is, you know, perfectly smooth there. But I do it on both sides, so it hides the joinery.
Right, and notice also, too, it won't move.
It won't move.
Turn it around to the back.
Yep.
This is what I want to talk about, is the fact that this is contoured.
Yep.
And this shape, so to minimize the heel.
This is the only difference in the silhouette, was making this kind of, you know, rounded neck heel, and then use the eyelets. So these are ferrules that you find on current generation.
You can only get that custom, or can you get, is there a model that makes that kind of body?
No, that's exclusive to this guitar. Because what we're doing at the custom shop, it's two rolls. Supporting the artists.
Right.
And then there's also an R&D function to say, like, you know, what can we explore, and is it something that, you know, are there new techniques we can incorporate down the road to make the guitars cooler?
Well, besides the comfort of the contouring in the back, the way that's bolted on, mm-hmm. Do you notice a major difference between that and the four bolt? Is it as far as stability?
In terms of stability, we make the guitar super stable anyway. So
right.
That neck pocket, I actually took the neck off of that guitar today when I, you know, restrung it, just make sure everything's cool. It was tight. So, you know, pulling the neck out of the pocket.
It won't shift.
Now, this guitar, it's slightly different because when you put the neck in the pocket, I could actually string it up, tune it, and it will stay in tune with no bolts. It's But this particular guitar is just a little bit different, right? And you know, this is like one of the times that they let me run free a little bit and come up with something wild. So that's, you know, my second purpose at the shop is I build all the, you know, prototypes for the upcoming products that we hope to sell. So we did a lot of prototyping for Revstar and for BB and for all sorts, you know, so we'll make, you know, and TRBX. We've been working on a lot of projects, so this was one of the
I'm trying to remember the necks on the Revstar. Is that type of the necks on the Revstar are glued in, right?
Yep, they're set necks.
Okay, because it seems to me now. Do you think that's an improvement overall?
The way it's
bolted. Now, I know the contouring obviously is it's easier access, but I'm just saying. Do you see that as a major improvement over that, or so?
The main change is, like, you know, if you were to really tug on a lot of guitars, you know, go to your local, you know, music shop and yank one, you might see the strings move a little bit over the fingerboard. This one pretty much absolutely eliminates that. And it was just something where sometimes I just challenge myself and I say, what's the, you know, hardest thing to do? This also has the added benefit of, like, it covers all of the corners of the joint. So it looks nice and neat, and
it's smooth. It's easier. I think it gives you more accessibility up to the top, and I get that as a you know, a custom instrument. A lot of them have that. They'll take the heels out of them and stuff. I've seen people mod their guitars, or in other companies too, they take the heel out whatever way.
Yeah. So I mean, we have a lot of artists that come to us and say, "Hey, you know, I'd really like it if you know, I can get a little bit higher access." Or some guys actually ask for extra frets, or, you know, certain fret wire, or they say, you know, just we try and accommodate every way we can. And then this one has, like, all super high-end hardware. So this is Goto 510 with the, you know, steel block.
Go ahead and flip it around the back so we can see the back of it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So hold on a second. Let me get this. Yeah. And then you can take it. Now, the...
Goto locking tuners as well. That's a must. So this one actually doesn't have a string tree because you don't need it. They're graduated, so the post
it's pulling down enough.
It pulls down enough.
And then what kind of nut is this?
It's a bone nut. You don't need anything else other than that. But the nice part is you don't have to have the string tree. That's just one of those things. It's more design oriented in my mind, where I just like it to look nice and clean. You know,
it makes it easier to restring. I'll tell you that. I have two on my Strat, and it's like it takes a while. You have to put them under there.
Yeah.
Before you start playing, let me ask you about the stainless steel frets. What's your take on them?
I love them. I would put stainless steel frets on everything. I know in certain cases of vintage instruments, you don't particularly want to do it for, I don't know, posterity's sake. But really, I think the benefit you get versus whatever perceived tonal change, you know, the number one feature on every guitar that's never used is this thing called the tone control.
Yeah, here. I usually leave it all the way up.
I'm sorry, the what?
Yeah, what's that thing? I never heard of it before. But
the other knob.
Yeah. Guys say that it makes guitars sound bright to have stainless steel frets. I don't think it makes it sound brighter. I think it actually just makes the guitar sound more alive.
That's true. Stainless steel against stainless steel strings will give you more overtones.
Sure. I mean, I don't use stainless strings. I just use the regular nickel D'Addario. That's what I typically use when I string up anything new. But I mean, I like it. I think it just makes it.
I find it easier to bend.
Yeah, it's like totally butter. Easier to bend.
But from what I heard from repair people, the stainless steel installing them, it's much more involved.
Yes and no, not really. I mean, it's a little harder on your tools, but like I've had the same pair of cutters that I got from, you know, it's Hosco, which is Japanese company, tool company, and I've cut hundreds of, you know, frets, yeah, stainless frets with it, and it's still not chipped. It's still brand new, and the only thing is you have to make sure when you press them all in that you do it right. Because then you have to file the frets level. I don't actually file. I use sandpaper and like one of those really straight chromed bars. But if you put in the frets properly, as I put them in, you know, 1, 2, 3, I go up the board with the fret rocker. I make sure it's as level as possible when I'm pressing them. That way, when I go to level the frets, I'm just kissing the top of them this very slight right. way, and they don't need much dressing. Now, the difference that I do is I do the hemispherical fret end, so they're all rounded off.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little tougher because you'll spend a little bit more time, but they buff just fine. They clean up just fine. I think it's just a familiarity with certain, builders or repair guys.
Well, let me ask Dave something here. In terms of, okay, now he's talking about installing them on a custom level where he's spending a lot of time. Is stainless steel feasible? I've never seen it manufactured like on a normal assembly line guitar. Is there an issue like because it's so hard of a metal or?
I don't know. That'd be a question for a different part of the company. I think just in terms of like the production planning.
I mean, it's not just Yamaha. I've noticed no other company just manufactures straight off the line stainless steel frets.
A lot of old Yamaha guitars actually have stainless steel frets from long time ago.
Really?
But yeah. It was something that they used for a while. Actually, one of the DSM, the district sales manager mm-hmm. guys, had a Pacifica that I worked on, and I was like, "Man, these frets are a little harder, to do the fret ends on." And I was just like, "Oh shoot, this is one of those guitars that So there are some older Pacificas that had them, but these are all just like the standard nickel frets on the current generations. In terms of installing at the factory level, it's it is slightly a little bit more intensive. I do have the luxury of being able to spend the time to make sure everything's perfect. But like I've been to the factory in Indonesia, factory in Japan. I see how those guys press the frets in. The factory in Japan does it exactly the same way I do it. So if you buy an RSP-20, you buy a BBP-34, you buy an Attitude Bass, the press that they use is massive. It's so cool. It's got this huge lever on it, and I see the guy rocking the frets doing that same thing that I do, and they do the same way. In Indonesia, they press the frets in. There's actually a line of folks working so there's somebody cutting the frets to length, there's somebody preparing them to be installed, and then they're pressed in with a press. And same kind of thing, leveled with a bar, just the old-fashioned way. But it's very, very accurate. We manufacture this guitar in a really humid climate sometimes, so getting that accuracy down. The fretboard is the most important part of the whole darn guitar. It's like if this isn't right, then you can't play it.
If you can't play it. Doesn't matter how good your pickups are, you still can't play it.
Yeah. So I always focus so much more on a neck.
I like stainless steel. I think that they last longer. They're much more pervy. Yeah. But I'm curious about that because, like you're saying, you're designing guitars that it's like R&D for pop.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this: if you made a guitar like this with stainless steel, could it be stay within the price point, or would it bring the cost up?
I think if it was just the frets, it'd probably be, somewhat of an upcharge, but not too dramatic. I can't speak to any numbers or anything like that.
No, I hear you.
I'm not the numbers guy.
Because that's another
thankfully.
Thing, as a business, you have to look at that. I mean, if you have this guitar at this incredible price point, that's a great guitar. And, if you put stainless steel in there and it brought it up a couple $100, mm-hmm. it's going to knock it out of what you're trying to go for in the first place. So.
Sure. Yeah. And you have to balance like the features versus, who your target customer is and what you're trying to accomplish in the marketplace. I think that we're always trying to achieve a higher standard and improve right. the product. I mean, that is the one thing it's 7 years for me in March working for Yamaha. I started when I was 25 and it's been crazy how stringent everything is about improving quality, maintaining the highest quality that mm-hmm. we can, and constantly looking to improve the product no matter what. So it's just about, okay, we did a good job on this, but what's next? What's next? And it's like all our products are constantly, you know, in this state of, okay, this one gets released. In the meanwhile, while that's been released, we've been working on, you know, all the other models of guitars. So this year at NAMM, at Summer NAMM, they released the Storia brand acoustic guitars, the Yamaha Storia guitars. They're really great, three really unique models. And then we released the NX5 series, or like the new NX guitars with Rodrigo y Gabriela.
And those will be next month with Andy.
You're talking about those with Andy? Okay, cool.
We're almost out of time. I want to make sure we look at the other guitar. Go ahead and go through the pickups real quick.
Sure.
Now that's the neck pickup. You gotta love those Lawlers. They sound great.
Four positions. Here's the middle. This is the two position.
That's nice.
That's really nice.
And then the bridge pickup. So the reason why I wired this guy up like this is actually a T-style bridge pickup. Typical, you know, three single coil.
It's a single coil, right?
It's a single coil, but it's more based on a single cutaway type of, you know, bridge pickup. And I think it gives a little bit more beef.
Is that a Lawler too?
Yep.
Oh, those are all three.
Yeah, and actually you could just buy these on, you know, go on their site. They got them.
I love that. That bridge is nice too.
That's really
nice. Yeah, go to 510 Bridge and 510 Tuners. Really great 21-to-1 locking. I try and put these on everything. We got to, you know, represent
the Japanese.
All right,
let's take a look at this last one, which is very cool. I love the finish on that. I love that cutaway in the back, the way you have it.
Yeah, so
cluttered.
This is where the, you know, the R&D and, you know, sometimes me being able to go a little wild and artist, you know, collaboration comes to a head. So this guitar belongs to Jeff Schroeder of the Smashing Pumpkins and his band Night Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to us and said, you know, I've been playing a lot of the other Yamaha guitars, mm-hmm. Especially Revstars. He's been playing them on stage. SA2200, another really great. If you love hollow bodies, check out an SA2200. They're incredible. But this guitar is something a little different. It's based on an original 24 fret Pacifica model that would have the more typical pickguard shape that you're seeing on the pink guitar. But this is, you know, taking that idea of the pickguard from this previous blue guitar and making it, you know, this modern kind of shred style instrument. And it's got a very thin neck. It's about 17 millimeters here, about 20 here. So first fret, 12th fret.
What's the radius on this puppy?
This is also a compound radius.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this one is 10 to 16. And the last four frets are scalloped. He's got, some of his own influences that he really loves. We put the largest Jeskar stainless fret wire that they have on here. So it's FW 58118, I believe, dash S, which means stainless. And he just wanted simple dots, but actually the side dots glow in the dark, lumen lay dots. Same Goto tuners, locking tuners. And this one's got the Floyd on here. This is the Floyd hot rod. So all like the screw, like the intonation screws and the points in the back, these are all stainless. And it's got the Sustainiac pickup in here.
Does that one, like the traditional Floyd, where you have to cut the ball ends off?
Yep. This one you would cut the ball ends off. I've strung it up before where like you just keep the ball ends up here by the tuners and then you just nip the end of the string and put it in there. But yeah, this is just like your standard okay. Floyd. I like doing the locking tuners. Just makes the ease of string change a lot easier. You know, it just makes it quicker. It's not necessary, but, you know, we're trying to make life easy for some of these guys. So any time they get to save and spend more time playing their music, mm-hmm. it's important. So this guitar had a lot of similar features to different versions of that blue guitar. So one of the other versions of that blue guitar that we displayed at NAMM had this kind of crescent-shaped cutaway, the forearm contour. That was something that we did on there. Same thing with the heel contour. Made it nice and scooped out, four bolts. It's also the dovetail neck bolt pattern. So this one, same thing. Very hard to rock back and forth in place. This is actually a basswood body and just a plain maple neck. This is what he was after. He really wanted this color. He wanted to be loud. And it really sticks out on stage.
What pickups are on there?
These are Duncan Hunter and SSL 6. That was by request. They're from the Seymour Duncan Custom Shop. And then this is the Sustainiac single coil driver. And it's got three modes. He had another guitar where he really liked the position of these switches, so we just designed it so it did, you know, function in a similar way.
Yeah, you guys
got
to hear the Sustainiac.
Yeah, so this
thing's great.
Yeah, it's pretty wacky. So it's got that high harmonic mode. It's got a lower harmonic mode. It's like violin, and it's nice because you can hold a high note. It's
I would try
fun.
For years trying to get my guitar to go sustain that long, and never would.
I always like that Jeff Beck lick when he's played. You know, it can do all the flutters. Yeah, you just, you know, shred it up or whatever. Yeah, he's much better than I ever will be, so I'm not going to insult his guitar.
Real quick, go through all the pickups.
Yeah, so...
Because we're like minute. We got about a minute left.
Yep. This is the neck pickup.
Okay.
This is the four position. Middle. This is the four position right here.
It's got a nice different sound.
And bridge pickup.
Now, what do the toggles do?
The toggles are for the sustainer. So this is the three harmonic modes and then just on and off.
Okay.
Yep. And you'll see another Revstar that Jeff has that actually has two toggle switches back here. Not a sustainer. It actually has different coil taps. Mm. One's a coil tap, one's a mute.
Oh, cool. Well, we're out of time. Real quick, is it usa.yamaha.com is the main site, or is there a special?
If you just go to yamaha.com, where
or yamaha.com,
it'll be.
You'll find us.
Yeah.
Just okay. Google Yamaha. You'll get there.
Just Google Yamaha. Yeah. No, there's and then there's an actual section about the artist, the custom shop, and you can see what they're doing and what's going on.
Yeah, you can check that out. You can check out our Instagram pages, Yamaha Guitars, Yamaha Music USA. You can go to Yamaha Guitar Development, see some of the weird projects that we worked on there. But pretty much just, you know, type in Yamaha and we're around. We've been there.
Yeah, and the I'll be posting up. I did see Pat over at NAMM. And there's a short video that we made. We looked at some of the other artist guitars that you had made.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to post that up, but it's coming up and it'll be up on the YouTube site soon.
Yeah, the Chris Buck Goldtop Revstar, Billy Sheehan Sunburst Attitude Bass.
Yeah.
And Billy Corgan's Star Guitar.
This thing's great. All three of these
guitars.
$299 for that thing? I got to think about that. Now you got You're hitting my pocketbook.
Yeah, come check us out.
Anyway, thank you so much. It's great to have you here, Dave. Hope you come back again.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
And Pat, when we come back to look at the NX series, that whole other series, you're welcome to come and hang. Both of you guys, come and hang with us.
Come,
it's cool.
Come by the custom shop. We'll do a podcast
I have
there.
To go there. Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.